Hello and welcome to the Putting Couch. I'm Jim Grunberg along with Cody Hale and Ted Galena. We are part of the Seymour Putter Company's tour team, and we enjoy bringing you the podcast of the Putting Couch, all things putting. And today we're really delighted to have, as our guest, one of our real all-stars in our sort of teaching roster, Bo Harris from Bo Harris Golf Academy in the Knoxville, Tennessee area. He is a graduate of the University of Tennessee at Knoxville, and then went on and received extra degrees in golf management and all types of degrees. Bo, we'll let Bo talk a little bit about that, but he also was named the 2019 Teacher of the Year by the USGTF. That's the United States Golf Teachers Federation. Wow. You know, from a group of teaching professionals, that's the top of your profession. And we know that you're just all things teaching, and it's just going to be great to talk to you. So Bo, welcome to the Putting Couch.
Appreciate y'all having me.
You've been involved now, I think, since about 2012 in golf teaching, and probably before that, a lot of, you know, you were probably involved as a student in instruction. I know you worked under a lot of really well-known teachers. Tell us about sort of your, you know, what you wanted to bring to the business when you got into the teaching side of things.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. I started to really kind of fall in love with the teaching world around 2008. Which was around the time that I went to Florida to get a degree in golf management from Kaiser University. And my initial start to the golf industry was actually working with kids. I did a lot of stuff at juniors. But then my mentor, Donna White, who is a Hall of Fame teacher, very blessed to work under her, she got me actually involved with progressives clinics. Example being Special Olympics, Wounded Warriors, things of that nature. And so as a student, I was kind of teaching under her, going into the realm of the Special Olympics, which kind of shifted my focus for a while. And then next thing I knew, you know, I was running her junior golf program, at Okeehele Park in Palm Beach, Florida, which is also the home of Brooks and Chase Koepka. Interesting story about the junior clinics is we actually had to alter our junior clinic schedule to his practice schedule. Because we had a dual-sided range. And if he hit driver, he would hit into the kids on the other side of the driving range. So we had to alter accordingly. So it's not something you get to see every day is
no
ultra clinic schedule for somebody who can hit it over 320 yards. You know, and so that was really kind of eye-opening experience for me. Later that year, or a couple of years, I guess, down the road, 2011, I was able to coach the Special Olympics national tournament as part of the Team Florida coach. And that's probably the highlight or one of the highlights of my career, being able to coach. We had, out of the six players, we had three gold medals, a silver and a bronze. So wow. Five of our six players made it to the World Olympic Games in Greece, I believe it was in that year. So that was really exceptional to be a part of that.
How cool is that? And these kids, I mean, had they played golf before, or at what level did you get involved with them? And how did teaching them help build a foundation kind of for your, you know, being able to teach maybe all levels of golfers a little bit better?
Yeah, it was pretty interesting. I actually learned a lot through the process. I was definitely not a know-it-all teacher at that point, but I was able to use a lot of what I found out to my advantage. You know, working with the Special Olympics, you have to learn to really teach in several different ways. One of the things that was interesting to me is, you know, I had worked with players on the same day from not even being able to understand verbal communication. So we had to actually communicate via pictures. So I'd have to, he'd had a booklet, and I would have to point and show pictures and kind of explain it to him that way. And then you have athletes that are pretty higher up in the Special Olympics games that maybe even their only, the reason they're in the Special Olympics is because they are epileptic. And so, you know, you really got a chance to work with a wide range of players. And I think even though I learned a lot from that, I believe working the junior clinics in Palm Beach really taught me a lot, because I'm telling you, the way the kids react, you know, the little things, like if you're standing up to an 8-year-old and you're standing straight up on your feet and they're looking up like they're looking on top of a tower, they're going to be more intimidated and less likely to learn anything. So being able to learn to get down on eye level, different little things like that can make a huge difference. And I think the combination of the Special Olympics, junior golf, and just, you know, shadowing between Mike Adams, Dr. TJ Tomasi, and Donna White were a pretty big development for when I took over the first tee program in 2012.
I think that, you know, as you led into more getting more into instruction, just like you mentioned, with even with, you know, the Special Olympics and juniors, I'm sure that's played a bigger role as you started getting into higher levels, you know, teaching more higher level students, especially as you mentioned, you know, teaching with pictures, and as some people are visual learners and others, you know, there's so many different ways to teach people and how they, you know, interpret information. I mean, it's crazy how, you know, you may say one thing the same way, or you may, you know, how you're interpreting the information to different students. I mean, there's so many different training aids out there and so much information. It's how you break that down to different students of all different calibers. So I'm sure that's played a role in how you have to explain that information. And, you know, with so much technology out there, and, you know, you can't just talk over every student, because not every one of them, as they come to you, understands all that information. So you've got to break that down and put it into a way that they're able to understand that, and especially into putting. And there's great training aids that are very visual now that help them better understand that, give them feedback, right, to help them produce the results that you're looking for, right? So that's obviously had to help you better, you know, interpret that to your students, I'm sure.
Absolutely. So you know, when we when I moved back to Knoxville to take over the assistant director of expansion for the first tee program of Greater Knoxville, we had we had such an array of kids. Obviously, not to the point like we did in Florida, but you know, you have kids that are amazingly 10-year-olds that want to be taught analytically. So as awkward as it was to teach a 10-year-old about levels of degrees in his wrist and deviation, some kids actually learn better that way. Others, you know, like you said, I've got a guy who plays on the mini tours, and he could care less about ulnaral radial deviation, anything like that. They just see ball, hit ball, ball go far, ball go straight. the training aids have really made a difference. It's, you know, it'd be crazy to really keep up in today's teaching world if you just went out there with a bucket of balls and no camera, no sticks, nothing. Because, you know, training aids can be helpful in so many different ways, no matter what kind of learner your student is, adult, child, anything. In fact, Seymour has made a great, great training aid that has really helped me with not just my putter fittings, the golf mat. Some people just visually, it's amazing how many times your eyes can play tricks. Where I have a student who says, "Bo, I swear I am going straight back, straight through," or "I swear I have a little bit of an arc." I'm going out to in, whatever it may be. And then you lay the board down, and about the first half second, they stand up and they're like, oh. it's really neat to see that. One thing I love to do is with the new board, especially, is being able to teach in the, with the colors. You know, we have the eye line set up and the putter set up. And then something I see a lot of, mostly and especially with my putting, is players that will, you know, go back to the back toe about 3 inches, but then they follow through to about their shoulder. Yeah, and it's like, let's dial that down a little bit. But, you know, for them to be able to see the colors and say, okay, I need to set up here and I need to go red to red, yellow to yellow, black to black. And start to learn what you know, what that feel transitions to on different greens. I think it's a huge help.
Because putting, you know, it's not hard to just find a putter and just start, you know, hitting a golf ball, and you can find some success doing it that way. But, you know, we like to think that one of the opportunities, you know, for Seymour, one of the reasons Seymour's came into being, and one of the reasons that, you know, Seymour's been a part of such, you know, great, you know, performances, you know, at all levels, major championships on the tour, and just so many people that contact us saying how their game has changed. And it is the simplicity that the Seymour putter itself is also has a training aid component, right? And so many of these bad habits that golfers have just fallen into on their own, right? Because very few golfers go out and take putting instruction. So would you say, or we would say, that most golfers have a sort of a homemade putting stroke? And as you said, yes, there's a lot of ways to skin a cat. You can figure out how to get the ball in the hole a lot of ways, but if you come back to fundamentals, as you talked about, the length of the arc, you know, the matching up the back to the through in terms of the size of the arc, and, you know, in a Seymour, you know, from a Seymour perspective, I mean, starting the putter in the same place every time by hiding the red dot and using those benefits. So, you know, I know you've been on fire with putting instruction and putting fitting, and you've made Seymour a big part of that. Tell us a little bit about how that all fits with what your students really need.
You know, that was actually really funny that you said that. I went through a putter fitting last week, and we were sitting there, and he sets up to the SI5 mallet for the first time. He's never had a mallet, nor has he had a Seymour. Which, to preface that, he came in saying, "Bo, I will only use a blade." So, okay, fine. We'll see. You know, and it's so we get him set up, and he was like, he said exactly almost verbatim. He said, "How is this even legal?" And I was like, "What do you mean?" He said, "Well, it's impossible to mess up now because I can automatically see right off the bat, you know, my previous tendency was set up with a slightly shut face. When I do that now, I see the red dot hiding behind the shaft. And now I can just auto correct myself." I said, "Well, exactly. That's, you know," and so that has been a huge turning point for my teaching and my club fitting. And actually, interesting, kind of, I actually started following Seymour when I was a little kid. Freddie Couples and Payne Stewart were two of my golfing idols. And I remember sitting there on the couch with my grandfather and my dad, watching him on Father's Day win the U.S. Open at Pinehurst. And, you know, I always remember, I was like, I want everything to do with Payne. You know, with one unfortunate time in my life, even tried to wear the knickers like he did. Needless to say, he could wear them a lot better than I can. And you know, so I'd always heard of Seymour, always been a fan of Zach Johnson's, not just putting, but short game approach as a whole. And so, you know, the fact that he's been able to win two majors with that putter and everything that Payne was able to do, you know, really, I'd probably put Seymour on the map. So that's actually kind of how I got involved with Seymour. And then, as a matter of fact, I have a student of mine who is employed at Seymour. The man, the myth, the legend, Jeremy Foltz, who is, I guess, the wizard behind making all these putters that you all send out.
And he just schooled us as well on the PGA Championship office pool. He picked Colin Morikawa. So,
hey, Bo, tell our listeners, I know one thing when it comes to instruction, especially the instructor, as you have detailed, that, you have to be patient with your student, and then you have to find the best way to get that information to them, you know, whether, like you said, being on eye level or taking different cues from them to get the most out of them. What led you to, or what do you see more in your, is it putting that they need more help with? And is that why you see, does your lessons tend to go that way first? Or is it more just an encompass of an overall, you know, full swing, then putting? I'm just seeing the emphasis on putting on what you do with your instruction, and tell that to our listeners.
Yeah, that's a great question. So it's pretty interesting. I had a conversation with Mike Adams a few years ago. I called him to check in and just wanted to let him know how I was doing. And one thing he was kind of working on in that present time was how to evaluate stats. And you don't have to be professional to evaluate your stats. And so it's been pretty amazing how now that I talk to each one of my students and I kind of break down the round, I have all of my students, no matter what their level, keep, you know, fairways, greens, putts on their scorecard. And then we break it down. And what's been interesting is 10 out of 10, 6 months ago, would say, okay, I need a lot of help in my driver, or I need a lot of help. You know, I can't hit it anywhere. I can't get in the fairway. And then I look at their stats and they've got, you know, 10 to 14 fairways, which is decent. But then they have 38 to 42 putts. And I said, well, you know, that really doesn't have to do anything with how you're scoring off the tee, you know, drive for show, putt for dough. And so, I really have kind of transitioned over the last year or so into, I wouldn't say necessarily a direct putting coach, but I do put a strong emphasis on getting the students what they have and then adapting them, whether it be fitting them or not. You know, some students are just are putting great once they get a couple twerks worked out. The reason I think we see a lot on my social media is I've really more or less in the last 6 to 8 months taken the regardless of the level. If we're not starting putting, I'll at least incorporate 20 to 25 minutes of each lesson upstairs in my putting lab. You know, and students have shown improvement where they've been stymied for the last year. And then over the last 6 weeks, I have a student, a high school golfer. She's a junior this year. She has lowered her scores by 14 shots. And in fact, won the Tennessee TriStar stroke play by 17 shots this year.
Yeah. Wow.
That's great.
And the difference, you know, yes, we continued to work on her full swing, but for 3.5 to 4 weeks, we just hammered out her putting, got her into the SI2 Platinum, actually, I believe. And that was a great fit for her. And once we got everything set up, it was takeoff time from there.
That's very cool. What, but, you know, I know in your studio, you're using, you know, you've got a lot of the training aids set up. You've got such a cool studio there now. And then you're using CapToe a lot of the times to show and measure some of the data, to show them some of the results and show some of the improvements that you guys are making, and sort of capture some of that data and be able to show over the course of time, you know, hey, here's what we're working on, and here's the process that we're having, to show them, hey, here, trust the process. What are some of the drills and things that, you know, and I know you work with all levels of players, so what are some of the drills that you have for sort of transferable practice, meaning what are that help them take their practice sessions and transfer that into play that helps them execute on the golf course?
Great question. So when I use Capto, I actually just did this last week for the first time. I hadn't really had time, but I was on a playing lesson, and you know, the biggest miss that this student had specifically was that 4 to 6 foot snake, you know, left to right, downhill. I just need to sit up and just kind of guide it, kind of stroke, which is we see all the time. And I was actually able to use the Capto on the golf course. I think with the Capto, the best part about it, not only the data, but is the mobility.
Right.
So, you know, I think when you got a student on the putting green or on a turf mat in the office doing a fitting, it's pretty easy to sit up there and hit a pretty straight putt, just feel pretty confident about it. But you get out to the golf course and you start to see their real stroke. So that actually kind of ties into the way I approach my players of all levels. You know, first of all, being able to see how their stroke changed between the putting green in my studio and on the golf course. You know, we start to see not only measuring face angles, but also measuring the handling, the grip pressure change and the trembling and how we react to try and keep the same tempo or speed it up, slow it down. And being able to sit there and compare strokes outside to strokes inside from the same player is pretty eye-opening. It was really eye-opening for me as well. But I think that kind of transitions also into how I have my players practice. Too many times, I think everyone would agree when you say you have a great driver of the golf ball but a really poor putter. Then you have a really poor driver of the golf ball and a great putter. You go to the driving range, and what you're going to see 9 times out of 10 is the poor putter will be on the driving range and the good putter will be on the putting green, right? Because we only want to really practice what we're good at. And
good point.
And I really think that's why we see such a dramatic change in these, in quotes, range warriors. I have several students, you know, ask me, well, why can't I do this on the driving range, but I can't do this on the golf course? And what I found is, you know, it's how you practice and how they're practicing. And so based on what I see these players do on the golf course, I will actually have them kind of reassemble that into their practice structure on the practice green or the driving range. You know, one thing that you see every time with tour players is you don't see them just sitting there banging balls on the range. They're going through holes, they're going through different shots, transfers onto the golf course. One example I kind of like to use a lot of is the downfall of Hunter Mahan at the Ryder Cup when we had a chance to win. I don't know if you all remember that pretty well or not.
He had
that chip on the last hole and he broke his routine. He got out of what he was doing, what he practiced with, and then the pressure got to him. You know, until these kids and adults and all the players learn to practice just like they play, I think they will continue to struggle. And I think once they started to realize that, you know, it's pretty interesting to watch the practice habits change.
Well, I think that was, I mean, we've learned a ton from you today. And, you know, I think, yeah, I love the way that, you know, as you said, hey, you don't have to be, on the PGA Tour to use, you know, to value statistics. I mean, it's as simple as asking all of your students just to keep their simple statistics. As you said, you'll find many of your students who believe their issues lie with getting the ball off the tee and, you know, compressing their irons, and maybe they can improve in those areas, but then they come to you with a 38 to 42 putt average and you can very quickly show them a way that, you know, they can improve the game. Knock 4, 5, 6 strokes off their game immediately and make it more fun.
You know, like I was saying earlier, my player that's on the mini tours, I'm going to look at the Capto numbers, but I'm certainly not going to share his, you know, any of his angles or degrees in his wrist or anything like that. I'm not, he doesn't need to know that. And, one biggest thing that I was guilty of as an early teacher, and I think this is probably the most important thing teachers and people getting lessons could learn, is the disaster of being overloaded. I think several teachers, several good teachers, not by mistake, not by purpose, but sometimes, you know, you got a student with four or five different issues. All of a sudden, you're trying to fix all four and five, and then they're coming out of there maybe learning one. So what I've come to find based on trial and error is I'll teach on a three-point lesson blueprint. And so I'll stick to one point, and then once I feel and they can continuously tell me what we're working on, what the fix was, then I'll be able to go to the next point. Because my objective as a teacher, and I'll end with this, but my objective as a teacher for all students, regardless of levels or how I work with them, is not that they see the, you know, instant magical Band-Aid results, but I want to see that when I am not with them on the golf course, I want to see that they can self-identify what happened, they know how to fix it, and then they can regroup themselves and make the change on their own without having to fret or think about it. Because as a golfer, there is no worse feeling in the world than being out there on the golf course on the seventh hole and having no idea what on earth is going on with your golf game. It makes that nine-hole rain check seem pretty good at the time. Yeah, so, but I think all that mixed in, I believe that's probably the most important things I've picked up with teaching.
I love it. And in your bio, you also talk about the fact that you recognize that golf is a sport for serious athletes, right? People, when you get into golf, there's so many things going on. It's a serious sport and people want to get into it. But at the same time, you want to always keep it fun and keep it simple. And I think that's, you know, that's a great mesh of philosophies there. Of course, golf is, everybody wants to be able to focus and to get good over the long term. They realize there's a lot to it. So it's sort of there's some level of seriousness, of course, but you really want it to come back to always being fun.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, this is a game that depends on having fun. You know, it's, you hear people joke all the time or talk, you know, I hit so many terrible shots. Why do I keep coming back? Well, it's because of that one shot or that one putt that you hit from outside 20 feet. To me, as a golfer myself, personally, I don't think there's a better sound in golf than the ball going in the hole. it's either all right, I played great, or thank goodness this hole's finally over.
Yeah. We love it. But love it. Well, hey, we've had a great time. We've been talking with Bo Harris of the Bo Harris Golf Academy. He's also an instructor with the Roan State Community College golf team. Puts in a lot of work there. He's the USGTA Teacher of the Year in 2019. He's a teaching professional at Dead Horse Lake. He's also has his own golf academy at the Tennessee Sports Medicine Clinic right near the University of Tennessee Knoxville campus. So a lot of things going on. And, you know, we love the fact that you always incorporate some level of putting, instruction, discussion in every lesson. And, wow, you're seeing your students improve and have a great time along the way. And we hope we can have you back sometime, Bo. So thanks Absolutely. For all the support. And, you know, I think your parting notes about how your philosophy is you want golfers to be able to identify, self-identify, and correct and fix their own flaws out on the golf course. And I think that's very, very consistent, probably why Seymour has been such a great fit for you, because I think that's one of the things we always hear from our many, many fans that love putting with Seymour Putters, is that they love the fact that it does help them when they're out there on their own to get back to fundamentals and self-correct and not waste an entire round waiting to go back and see their instructor, but instead understanding, hey, this putter is going to help me remember what those fundamentals are and get back to it, and I can start making putts right now. So with that, we'll end this 32nd episode of the Putting Couch. with Cody Hale and Ted Galeen. I'm Jim Grunberg, and we've been speaking with Bo Harris of the Bo Harris Golf Academy. Thanks for listening.
We appreciate you joining us. If you haven't subscribed to the show, make sure you do wherever you're listening. Be sure to leave a rating and review, because that's how we get the Putting Couch podcast content in front of more people. Also, take a screenshot and share it on social media and tag us at Seymour Putters or hashtag Team Seymour.